This morning I want to share with you a poem by one of the early Anglican poets, John Donne. He wrote it about Good Friday 1613 when he was riding west to Wales. It was on this ride that he decided to take holy orders. Although it was a holy day, Donne was travelling on business, and so the poem begins with the push-pull of the soul sphere and the other spheres of human life. I know that many of us experience that conflict. We may want to be mystics, or at least have time for prayer and contemplation, but there always seems to be one thing more to do. I know that's true of myself. Even when I go on retreat to intentionally take time away, things crowd in that seem urgent. Donne describes this by saying that our souls are whirled by the constant pressure of our outer lives. Somehow I find it comforting that that was as true in the 17th century as it is today. Because of the demands on him, Donne is travelling west when he thinks he should be turning toward the east, toward the Holy Land and contemplation of the cross. But he's almost glad that he doesn't have to see the crucifixion. It would be too much weight to bear. We don't here at St. Ben's place as much emphasis on the horrors of the crucifixion as some other Christians do. But today is the day to open our eyes, to spend a brief time looking clearly at the love of God suspended on the cross in agony. Suspended because that is what needed to happen so that we might be reconciled with God and given the gift of new life. I don't think that God demanded the death of his Son. I do think that it was the inevitable result of God becoming human, that we could not stand it and tried to kill him, and that we continue to do that in so many ways today, not necessarily as individuals, but in the way our collective works. The sin matrix brings oppression and suffering. Jesus told us that as we do it for the one of the least of these, so we do it to him. And that applies to oppression and corruption as much as it does to the good stuff we try to do. Seeing how African Americans and First Nation peoples are being devastated by the coronavirus at a much faster rate than privileged white Americans, we can see the results of the sin matrix at work today. But Donne focuses on the glory of God expressed through the cross. If it is impossible to see God's face, then how much more difficult to see his death? Dare we look on the death of God? Donne thinks it is too much to bear. But instead of abandoning the effort of Good Friday, he asks that God will use this experience to sanctify him, to restore him in the original image of God. And that, I truly believe, is the purpose of Good Friday, that we all may be made new, made perfect in Christ, by grace be restored to the image of God, which was our original blessing. As we mature in our faith, so God opens our eyes not just to the beauty of creation, but also to the agony of creation. They are both one and somehow the same. Together they make a whole. This is difficult stuff. Good Friday is both terrible and glorious. There is the beauty of the sunrise, and there are bodies lying in the streets, and somehow God's grace and God's love embraces it all. So I close with this poem by John Donne. Good Friday, 1613, riding westward. Let man's soul be a sphere, and then in this the intelligence that moves devotion is. And as the other spheres, by being grown subject to foreign motion, lose their own, and being by others hurried every day, scarce in a year their natural form obey. Business or pleasure, so our souls admit for their first mover, and are whirled by it. Hence is that I am carried toward the west this day, when my soul's form bends toward the east. There should I see a sun, by rising set, and by that setting endless day beget, but that Christ on this cross did rise and fall, sin had eternally benighted all. Yet dare I almost be glad I do not see that spectacle of too much weight for me. Who sees God's face, that is self-life must die. What a death were it then to see God die? It made his own lieutenant nature shrink. It made his footstool crack and the sun wink. Could I behold those hands which span the poles and tune all spheres at once pierced with those holes? Could I behold that endless height which is zenith to us and our antipodes humbled below us? Or that blood which is the seat of all our souls, if not of his, made dirt of dust, or that flesh which was worn by God for his apparel, ragged and torn? If on these things I durst not look, durst I upon his miserable mother cast mine eye, who was God's partner here, and furnished thus half of that sacrifice which ransomed us? Though these things, as I ride, be from mine eye, they are present yet unto my memory, for that looks towards them, and thou lookst towards me. O Saviour, as thou hangst upon the tree, I turn my back to thee, but to receive corrections, till thy mercies bid thee leave. O think me worthy thine anger, punish me, burn off my rusts and my deformity, restore thine image so much by thy grace that thou mayst know me, and I'll turn my face.